Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Off the Shelf for this Saturday, July the 10th, 2010. I thank you so much for joining us here this morning. It is such a joy to have you with us here on another Saturday morning here at Off the Shelf Radio. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, I'm your host, Denise Turney, coming to you live from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Still waiting for the guest to dial in, Judith Wolcott. I reached out to her yesterday, haven't heard from her, so may have to reschedule today's show, just to let you know. As always, I thank you for your support, and I encourage you not to let another day pass before you pick up a copy of Long Walk Up. Long Walk Up is a powerfully moving and inspirational book. You're going to come away inspired and motivated and empowered. It's a short book that you could read and probably one day easily. I haven't met anybody who's read Long Walk Up who hasn't been, when I say encouraged and inspired, I mean incredibly much so, not minimally, where if there's something you've been on the fence thinking about doing, you will go ahead and do it after you read this book. Where if there's something you've been thinking that you couldn't do because of life struggles being too hard, when you read this little girl's story in Long Walk Up, this little girl who was orphaned at 6 years old after her mother passed and her father and her siblings had already passed before her mother did, and what she goes on to do and the hard struggles she has as a young child when it seems the hardest to go through those things, when you see her in, because she doesn't quit moving forward, you're going to keep going forward so you can get the good that it is you want to see in your life. As somebody told me recently, go out and create a wonderful day for yourself today, because you are creating your day. So I encourage you not to let another day, not another second pass before you pick up a copy of Long Walk Up. And you can add this book to your collection simply by clicking over to www.chistel.com, and that's chistell.com. You can also pick up a copy of Long Walk Up at amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Borders, Walmart, etc. If you don't see a copy of it on your shelves, just ask the book clerk. You just go right up to the bookstore counter and say, I'd like to get a copy of Long Walk Up by Denise Turney, and they can order it for you because it's listed with Ingram Books. And it's also listed with Baker and Taylor, two of the largest book distributors in the world, and they supply books to bookstores and libraries. And I think that we are going to probably reschedule today's show. I'm going to wait a few more minutes for Judith to dial in, but I say that because I haven't heard from her. I worked through her publicist, reached out, and said that she would like to schedule an interview with Judith here on Off the Shelf. And I don't know if her publicist reached back to her or not. Sometimes publicists will reach out to the media, and then they don't go back out to the artists that they support. So I'm going to wait a couple of more minutes for Judith. If she doesn't dial in, then I'm going to reschedule the show. And I actually will be on vacation next week. Going to miss you guys. And then I will be back. You can always go to the website, again, www.chistel.com, and read the book excerpts from books that I have authored. And you can also read my online diary there. And you can also go over and join the Book Lovers Haven online. It's an online group for professional writers, and it's a very professional group and people who absolutely love to read books. It's free to join. I know July the 20th, Ning is going to start charging a fee for people who have a Ning, the owners of a Ning site. It'll be a small fee, but I'm not going to pass that on to you guys. It'll be free for you. You can join for free, and I'll just pay the fee. And go in and join and talk about books that you've read and that you enjoy. And as authors, go in and put up your own page there at Ning. Again, it's free. And join the forum discussions and the blog. Add to the blogs. We have a wonderful book reviewer who is over there. So go join the Book Lovers Haven Network at Ning. And also subscribe to the Book Lovers Haven's newsletter. It's another free periodical that I put together. Generally, I try to get it out once a month. Last month, we announced the winners in the Chisto Annual Writing Contest. We have a short story category and a poetry category for the contest. And again, that's free. I just keep so many things free for people. We'd like to sell more books, but I keep things free for folks. I don't have to charge you guys, just like the shipping and handling is free. You're not going to pay any taxes on our books. So do those things for you. We do those things for you. But go, you can join the Book Lovers Haven. It's a newsletter. We post job openings there, and they're good job openings. And then also, and I just do the research to go out and scour the web for good job openings that I come across, and I pass them on to you guys. I also do that in the Book Lovers Haven Network, and it's a NING site, N-I-N-G. So if you put Book Lovers Haven Network or Book Lovers Haven NING, that site will come up. And then also the Book Lovers Haven Newsletter, all you have to do is go over to www.chisto.com, and you'll see it's on the right side of the page where you can join the Book Lovers Haven newsletter. You can subscribe or you can join the network. Both are free. No, absolutely no charge to you at all. But the newsletter, we list job openings, good writing job openings. These are not free or volunteer job openings, because writers have expenses like everybody else. So these are not free jobs. They're good jobs with reputable companies. A lot of them are with universities and colleges, could be a reference librarian, physician. A lot of them are with companies who are looking for writers. And I have to tell you, being an author myself, on the things have really changed since I started as an author. Years ago, it basically was print. If you wanted to get into writing, you did print. You checked with magazines. You could submit short stories or articles. You do journalistic type of work where you would go out and, like, cover maybe the World Cup, or you would cover some event that's going on. You'd interview people in politicians. You'd interview people in local government and then cover it in either local or national magazine, something that either if it had local interest, you would just do it in a local magazine, or if it had national interest, you would do it in a national magazine. And then a newspaper. So that was the way writers got started years ago. And then as time went on and things began to change, and I think I was in the military, actually, in the Navy, stationed in Hawaii, when I remember the internet first starting to come along, and the big booms was for technologists. People were going into technology, because back then, and believe it or not, I'm going back to 1988, but you could make, I remember a guy who was got out of the Navy, and he was making $30,000 a year, and we thought that was so much money. Today, it's not like a lot of money, but back then, you know, as a technologist, if you got some training under you, you could get a decent job working for a company as a technologist with the internet taking off. And then now we know, and a lot of people resisted this change, as many of us resist change altogether, and that's why we get stuck. That's why our lives get stuck and our relationships get stuck, and we get stuck in the same job when there are God only knows how many jobs there are, but we feel like we can only do this one thing, and we get stuck, and we get frustrated, and sometimes people get depressed, and their energy goes down, and then things get worse and worse from there, because of whatever your energy is, you're going to attract those things that are in alignment with your energy. So if your energy's up good and you're filled with joy, you're going to attract things that are aligned with joy, and you're going to have a lot of good coming into your life. If you feel depressed and tired all the time, you're going to get more of that, and even more and more and more. So you got to shift your energy. You got to shift what you're thinking about. See yourself more as an energetic being than as a body, and just pay attention to how you feel. And we all going to have feelings times when we don't feel good, because we live in a world of contrast, and that helps us to choose. When something doesn't feel right, we know, oh, that's not for me. So that's really a blessing. Rather than to force yourself to go with something that doesn't feel right, go with what does feel right. And when you're not sure, just get still. Just get still for a while and then go through your day, and then start to pay attention again and be very aware of how you feel and go with what feels right, because you're going after joy. That should be your goal. You're going after joy. You're going after joy. You're not going after sacrifice. You're going after joy. That's your goal. And then more and more things that align with joy, which are good things, they're just going to start coming into your life. So I encourage you to do that. But anyway, when we resist change, as I saw people do when the internet first rolled out, writers, I'm speaking of many writers, I knew writers that said they would never type a story on a computer. They would always use an old typewriter. Well, what about years ago before typewriters were invented? I guess they wouldn't have wrote any stories at all then, because they wouldn't even a typewriter. But I knew writers who said they would, and these are, I'm talking about best-selling authors here, who said they would, and I know of one in particular that I heard in a magazine read, they would not use a computer. They would always use, and that's fine. We all have our, can make those choices, but life's going to keep going. So you can stay where you are and refuse to change and just watch life whiz by you and listen to the whiz sound as things pass and zoom by you and wonder what's all that dust curling up in front of my face. That's life going right by you while you refuse to change. So I know it's easy to find those comfortable spots and those places that feel so good, and we want them to last forever. People say they want to go back to the way things were when they were dating somebody when they were in college or in high school. It's gone. That's gone. So you have to just keep moving forward. Life is a moving thing. It's alive. It's not dead. Life is a moving thing. It's alive. It's not dead. So it's moving. So you got to keep staying there, keep going after joy, and continue to move forward so you don't get stuck. I've been stuck before in my life, and trust me, that is not a good feeling. You don't want to be stuck, and many of us are. We just marking in place, like on a treadmill. We're so tired, and we doing this, and we doing so much, and we keep seeing the same tree in the same convenience store, and because you're not moving forward, because there's something you might be afraid to let go of. Just let go. God's got you. And keep moving forward and going after joy. So now with writing, I see instead of the print magazines and the newspapers, going back to the jobs that we list in the Book of Lovers, having a newsletter, which again is free to join, and you can join through chistell.com, www.chistell.com. I've noticed there are a lot of good writing jobs on the internet. Yeah, there are also a lot of not so good ones. There are a lot of companies. Although I'm going to tell you, I don't see as many companies now that as I saw before saying to writers, we want somebody to do content or write a column. It could be lifestyle, arts and entertainment, politics, science, education, sports, whatever column or spiritual column, maybe spiritual guidance, whatever. Inspiration column for our online magazine or our online newspaper or a website that's going to be a community-based website like the AOLpatch.com that they're rolling out. But I haven't seen a lot of people, I used to years ago, see a lot of companies put those ads up and then say to the writers, it's free, they're not going to ever get paid. The writers are kind of like an intern, a free intern, but they want somebody with experience. Sometimes you could just not have experience as a writer, and it was a good way to build your portfolio. And then the hook was almost always, but you could put your byline with your article, and a byline is what the author says, writes their name, like Denise Turney, and maybe I put author of Long Walk up in my website, urlchisto.com. And that was your pay. And when I first came on the internet, I saw a lot of jobs like that. And I think because the internet was new, a lot of writers might have thought, wow, that's like almost like it is in a way free advertising and marketing and promotion. It is a way to get your name out there and your website URL. And the more articles that you write for that website that you include your URL in, the higher your website will rank in the search engines. For writers who don't have websites, I don't know how great of a deal that is. But as time has gone on, we see that not just ranking high in the search engines and not just marketing and promoting and spreading the word about your business and your writing and your books is not enough. There's so much competition on the internet right now. There are so many different businesses, and everybody's offering specials, and there's so many writers on the internet now that to be offered a writing job and be told, we'll let you include your byline in your website URL, that's just not as much of a benefit as it might have been years ago when the internet was just starting out. And there's still room for a lot of more people to join the internet, so there's still room for a lot more growth on the internet. But the jobs that we put in there are not free, and I encourage writers who want a professional career, if you've never written a piece before and you are completely new to the world of writing, then yes, you might want to get started with a website that's got a good reputation. When people either speak about the website or they visit it and they come away from that website, they feel good about it. They tell people, you know, that this, you can trust the information here. There are not a lot of rumors and hearsay posted at the website. You can trust the data that's there. Even if you don't like the opinions of the writers at the site, they do get the facts straight. So in those cases, if you write for a website like that and you're new, you don't have any writing experience as far as publication, you can do that to start out. But I don't recommend anybody do that beyond a couple of months. At a certain point, even if you're still writing for free, begin to search for paying jobs. And I always say this to people, this is something I learned recently. Whenever you're either looking for a client as a writer or you're looking for a job, if you're not a writer, you're listening, tuning into Off the Shelf right now, and this just happened to be a day where our guest, I don't know what the cross up was, but she is not on the air. I respect her. I know she's a good author. I think that she didn't get the message from her publicist, that's what I'm thinking. I did reach out to her twice yesterday, and I don't know, she might be away, because this happened to me once. Everybody's not on the internet 24 hours a day, and there are a lot of people that have very busy lives. There are writers who are on tour, they're on the road, they're working with their editors, and if the publicist schedules something, and the publicist might work with, there's some publicists that might work with 10 authors. If they don't get the message to the author, then the author doesn't know about an interview. And then if I reach out to them, and this is the first time this has actually happened, but if I reach out to them, the author, if they're not on the internet that day, they're not aware. So I'm sure we will hear from Judith, and I will reschedule her. I respect everybody, and I understand that things happen. Sometimes people don't get messages. Sometimes people get their dates or their times crossed up. And I'm just at the point in my life where I don't get angry. I don't feel like, oh, it makes me look bad or anything. I don't feel that way at all. And I have learned to just take what happens, always be ready for whatever happens. Sure, you plan things to go one way. And everybody tuning in to Off the Shelf knows this. They don't always go the way you plan. But stay in a state of peace as best as you can, which is very easy for me to do right now because I love talking to you guys. And also, just stay open. Stay open and always seek joy. Always go after joy. So becoming angry is not the way to get to joy. It's just not the way there. And not that anger is wrong if it's called for, but I wouldn't stay there for a long time, because your energy is just going to spiral downward. At some point, you got to say, okay, enough. I've been angry. I've expressed anger, and I'm not angry about this at all. And then start to move again toward joy, because you want to keep pulling good things into your life, and your energy is going to be the thing that's going to pull it in. Your energy and what you focus and think on, that's going to pull certain people and experiences into your life. And some things do happen that we don't expect to happen, and this totally uncalled for to us. But again, even in the worst of things, try to get still. Even if you got to get still once a day for a couple of minutes, if you're going through something very difficult, like what we discussed with a previous guest on our show who lost her husband and her son in a train accident, Bernice Dickey. She was actually on T.D. Jakes' television show, The Potter's Touch, and her show was her interview was so inspirational, and it touched people so much that it aired for about 3 years. But she talked about the importance of just if it gets so hard that you just got to go from second to second, you do that and take some time. You've got to be still, to talk about how you're feeling, to get it out, and then your goal has got to be joy. Your goal has got to be joy, not sacrifice. Joy. Your goal has got to be joy, and only you know what brings that to you. When you are in joy, I think we're connected with our source more closely, and you are on the right path. You're on the right path. Misery is not, it's a sign that you're not on the right path when you're miserable. So just keep shooting for joy. If it takes you a couple of years to get there, it's worth it. It's worth it, because you will get there if you don't stop going. So I've learned, even like on this show, and I love talking to you guys, so that's what makes this easy for me, but to always be open, to always be open. And it may take a few experiences of things happening to you that you didn't expect before you learn, or somebody reacts to a decision you made in a way, or a lot of people might react to a decision you made in a way you didn't expect, and you're a little caught off guard by it. Or you get some news that is really shocking for you. As these things happen more and more, you will probably learn how to stay open and how to keep seeking joy. And when you feel a little confused, just to sit still, even if it's for 2 minutes. Don't have to focus or do no special breathing. Just sit down for 2 minutes. Just like we tell our kids to sit down, just sit yourself down for a couple of minutes. Until you'll notice, you'll start to your mind will stop racing, and the confusion will start to go away, and then you just get up and go about your day. So it's that simple. And I tell people to go after peace, go after joy, not sacrifice, but peace and joy. So anyway, I wanted to go back to the newsletter. I'm sort of talking in a circle right now, but I wanted to go back to the Book Lovers Having newsletter, where we post job openings, and again, they're good job openings, which led me to talking about writers writing for free, and which if you do that as a new writer, again, just a couple of months, I would recommend, and then even while you're maybe still writing for free for a website, and you can always start to negotiate with the website owner. Ask them how many visitors, how many people read your articles. And good websites do have traffic analysis on the back end that the owner and sometimes administrators have access to. They have maybe the password that will give them access. Like I know for Chisto.com, I can see our traffic, an analysis on the traffic. I know how many people per country, how many people visit Chisto.com, and people visit the site from all over the world. And I can see other websites that people go to their website first, and then they might link over to Chisto.com if that website has a Chisto URL there, and then they'll link over to that, which is a good reason why it's good to get your website linked in to as many other websites as possible. The Internet's a huge network. It's a huge network. We say LinkedIn's a network and Facebook's a network and Twitter, but the whole Internet is a huge network. That's what it is. So it's not surprising that you see these MySpaces and LinkedIn's and Twitter's, and you'll probably see others coming up, popping up as well on the Ning sites. That's what the Internet is. It's a huge network, and actually when you think about it, that's what this universe is. It's a huge network of people and living beings. That's what it is. So it's not surprising to see these networks take off and people have interest in them, because we do want to network with each other, plain and simple. So anyway, you can go to, if you're writing for free, you can go to the website owner or administrator or the editor and ask them, you know, how much traffic are my articles getting if you're writing for free? And if you're getting significant traffic to your articles, then start to negotiate some type of price. And if they're not willing to pay you, then can I put my book up on the website? And can I put it up on the front page? Can I put my book up on a page that the column that I write for is, or a banner? Or can I put my book cover and a book trailer, a video of my book up, or an excerpt, or of me reading an excerpt from my book up at the website? There are all kind of ways to start to negotiate to get a little bit more payment as a writer than what you initially came through the door with. That's in business. That's in anywhere. You start at one level. I know in business people know about getting promotion. You start out at one level, and then you just start to negotiate and network, which is what this universe is all about. That's why communication skills are very important. And listening skills are very important because you need to hear what other people are saying, because networking is about listening as well. So you can start to move up to where, or maybe not even say move up, or just start moving to where you want to be. And when you get there, you'll probably stay into another spot for a couple of years, and then you'll be itching to go someplace else. That's life. Life moves. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. It's not to say I want to stay in the same spot for 20 years. You do something for 5 years, and then you all of a sudden feel yourself wanting to move, wanting to change. That's good. And then just start going forward again. You know, you're not losing anything. You're just moving. You're just moving forward, that's all. So I don't recommend that writers write for free for very long. Start to negotiate with the sites that you're writing for free for. To again, put your book cover up, put a banner up, put a book trailer up. And you can negotiate with people. This is what we do. And then also begin to look for paying writing jobs with reputable companies. And I've said this here at Off the Shelf before. I like to take advantage of these times when either a guest dials in late, or in this case, I don't think the author is going to dial in. And again, a very respectable author who I am going to reschedule. And I think very, very highly of her. At these times, I get to share things I've learned with you guys, which I want to do because I want to see. I would be so happy if somebody emailed me and said, I listened to Off the Shelf for several years. I visited your website for several years, and then their book took off. There's one writer who did visit the website. She told me once a week or every day, and she did hit the bestseller list. So that made me very happy. So when people either go to the website every day, or they go to, they join the newsletter, or they listen to Off the Shelf and different things they learn and pick up, or they join the Book Lovers Have a Ning, where I do send emails to the members. They won't be posted at the Ning site. You'd have to be a member to get the information where I put out about jobs and different things. To hear people take that information and either tell me they landed a job or they went to a conference that was posted at chisel.com, where we have lots of conferences and seminars posted there at the website for writers. Just do a search on chisel.com and just look up like writers conferences seminars, and there's a page at the site that lists a lot of them throughout the year. But when people go to those events and then they come back and they tell me that they met an editor there and they got a literary agent, or that really, really is very, very rewarding for me, myself, even though I'm an author myself, still working to sell my own books and promote my own creative writings and my own non-fictional writing that I do with clients that I service as a writer. I still want to help see others excel, and I put a lot of energy into that as well. So some of the places that you can find good-paying, reputable writing jobs. Believe it or not, one of the places, and they also list a lot of some hoax jobs as well. So you have to learn how to read the job ad. But I found some jobs through Craigslist, and I mean some legitimate jobs through very legitimate companies through Craigslist. And that's C-R-A-I-G, I think S-L-I-S-T. I found through there. All you can do is put like writing jobs, comma, and then the city that you live in, writing jobs, comma, Philadelphia, writing jobs, comma, I don't know, Baltimore, or wherever you live, and then the listing will come up. The jobs that are real brief and they just say want writer for blah, 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 call or email, I don't respond to those. But if they list, like, particularly the company name and what the job pays and the specifics that they're looking for the author, do they want you to have a journalism degree? Do they want you to have a degree in creative writing? How many years of experience do they want you to have at magazine writing or web content or search engine optimization? If you ever hear hear the term SEO. That stands for search engine optimization. That's when you'll be writing articles with keywords in them so that those articles will come up in the search engines. People will click on links and go over to the client's website. So that's what that's about. But the more detail that's generally offered, the more reputable the company or person who's putting that ad in is. I know some people who've made good money through Elance, and that's E-L-A-N-C-E. Let's see. I've used Odesk. I haven't found a lot of high-paying jobs in Odesk, but I do know there are a lot of jobs over there. Media Bistro. I love Media Bistro. The companies that post jobs in Media Bistro are very reputable companies, so I highly recommend them as well. I'm trying to think of some other places off the top of my head that you could go and search on the internet and find reputable, good writing jobs. Oh, Morning Coffee. Morning Coffee. Definitely Morning Coffee. That's another one that you could go to and find a lot of reputable writing jobs. And when I say reputable, I mean good companies. I'm talking book publishing companies, Dow Jones, America Online, About.com, which I believe is, I think About is owned by Time Warner. These Disney jobs, reputable companies like that, looking for writers, technologists, web designers, those are posted at Media Bistro. You can also find those type of jobs at Morning Coffee. And we post those in the Book Lovers Haven, the newsletter, and also post them. I send out emails periodically. I don't do it on a regular scheduled cycle to the members of the Book Lovers Havening site, and that's N-I-N-G. And I encourage you to join the site and network with other members there. There are professional writers there. There are best-selling authors there. There's, I know, at least one literary agent there. There's one person there who has experience in Hollywood. You don't know what, when you look at people, we so sometimes judge people, and we don't realize that we just could be missing great opportunities because we don't network with each other, and we judge each other, and we say, oh, small fry, and then we don't pay attention. Then we see somebody like a Bill Gates, and we almost trip over ourselves to get to them. And that might not be the open door for us. It might be the person that we consider a small fry, which no one is a small fry. Nobody is. And everybody knows somebody, and everybody is somebody. So that's the importance of networking. I encourage authors to do that. That's how I've grown on the internet, through networking, not just asking to receive, but also, you know, giving to others, whether it's a tip, whether it's advice or what, you know, something that can help grow another person and expand another person's life and enrich another person's life. That's networking. And then other people will give to you as well. If you find yourself feeling like you're giving more than you're receiving, then maybe you should check and see how good you are at receiving. It could be like compliments, because this is something I still have to work on, but it could be compliments when people pay you compliments, you kind of wave them off. You might not be so great at receiving, and that might be why you feel like you're giving more than receiving, because when the universe tries to give you something, you wave it off. So I've learned that when people either pay you compliments or they just, you know, they offer you something. It could be something really small. You want a piece of gum, and not to always say no. Even if you don't maybe want it right now, you can say yes, thank you. Take the gum, and you're showing the universe that you are willing to receive and not just give. And then see if you start being offered things more. Kids start off something simple. People just asking you want some gum, you want a piece of candy, you want a piece of fruit. And even if you don't want to eat it right now, you just say yes and say thank you and just start to receive. So, but again, the Book Lovers Haven, the newsletter subscription free at chistel.com, which is chistel.com. I hope you all go over there and bookmark the website and visit often. I try to put a tip up. It initially started as a daily tip for writers. and kind of veered away from daily. I mean, my life gets so full. But I do go over there. I do go over there, and I do update the website. And when you see updates at Chistel, I have made those updates. And I don't design my own website. I have a web designer at AlterQ, Melissa Ray. And I also do my online diary. And I'm also on Twitter and Facebook. What I was going to do right now, before if time permits, actually I cannot believe I'm going to finish this show with 25 minutes left. And if people shot me questions, I would definitely take the time to also answer your questions. And it doesn't matter who it's from or what the question is, I would honor and respect it and answer your question. What I'm going to do now is read a little bit from Long Walk Up. This is it's not actually my latest book. My latest book is titled Love Pour Over Me, and it went out to my editor. I think sent it out to her. Her name is Susan Bono. She's in California. Sent it out to her last year. She's a retired school teacher, and a wonderful editor, and she also teaches writers workshops. Wonderful woman out in California. But anyway, I got it back from her early this year. I just still haven't sat down to finalize Love Pour Over Me. I've been busy. I wrote two children's books. My first one, which is available at Chistel.com, is Rosetta's Great Adventure. It's only $2. And it's a children's book for kids probably between 6 and 11 years old, or maybe even I'll say maybe 7 and 11 years old. But it's kind of in a character in Judy Blume's stories, and I can't think of her name, or Pippi Longstocking. This is a mischievous little girl, Rosetta Blay. She's got an older sister and an older brother, and she is full of spunk, and she gets herself into some situations. So there's something going on in this story. The fifth grade class is putting on an event, and Rosetta is, oh my goodness, she's like almost never prepared for school. she's very funny. She's a bright kid, but she just finds her way into trouble. So I think that you will enjoy Rosetta's Great Adventure. Again, it's only $2, and it's at Chistel.com, and it is an e-book. So you order that book today, you get that book today. But Long Walk Up is my latest published book, and I was talking about it earlier, and I talk about Long Walk Up at the start of every show right now until my new book comes out. And I'm so honored by the people who put their comments in the book. And I'm always delighted when readers come back to me, and they've told me, so many people. One lady who hosted a show on BET television, she read it and interviewed me as well. And she's interviewed vice presidents and movers and shakers. So I was honored. And she loved the book. She told me she absolutely loved Long Walk Up and how encouraging and empowering the story is. But on the cover of it, it starts, you know, Long Walk Up, a childhood journey from tragedy to triumph, and the gripping tale of a young girl's journey from poverty and despair en route to her remarkable, and I do mean remarkable, this story was given to me from deep, deep within. It came to me in a way no other story has. Her remarkable and triumphant destiny. You got to hang in here with this little girl. You got to hang in here with her, just like you got to hang in there with your own self, because you don't know what the end is yet. You've got to hang in there with her. It is tough for her in the beginning and the middle stages, but you can't leave little Mulliken. You can't desert her, because the end is not over yet, and she has a remarkable and triumphant destiny. You got to go through the hard times with her, because she has an amazing destiny. And on the cover of Long Walk Up is a quote from an African proverb: however long the night, the dawn will break. However long the night, the dawn will break. And that is the theme, the spirit of Long Walk Up. Again, a story that came to me while I was actually driving to Princeton, New Jersey. It came from deep within. I never have ever received a story like that before. And I was getting specific guidance on this book. and then wrote it. And readers have confirmed to me that they have gotten from this book what I think it was created to give. So again, however long the night, the dawn will break. And Yaba Blay, she's a graduate student from Temple University's Department of African American Studies. She says about Long Walk Up that it breathes life into the resiliency of the African spirit. Through Turney, Mulliken easily leaves the pages and enters our hearts. You too will be encouraged to take the long walk up. And Dr. Maxine Thompson of Butterfly Press says, Mulliken, child of Africa, orphaned without mother, father, and left without siblings, triumphs over the rocky terrain of her solo journey. Long Walk Up is a poignant story of survival. And Ron Cavanaugh of Mosaic Books says, starting with her first book, Portia, and continuing with her latest effort, Long Walk Up, Denise Turney's literary expressiveness and dedication to the written word is evident. Long Walk Up is sure to be a bestseller. And at the bottom is the quote from the scriptures, anyone who trusts in him, our source, or God, what God is what's important, not so much what the name that we give God, because the names we give God don't change what God is. Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. And that is so true. Anyone who trusts in him, in our source, in the source that created us, will never be put to shame. And that's from Romans chapter 10, verse 11. And then I wanted to read just a brief excerpt from the book, since I have time to. This is just the way the morning went. I'm going to start from the beginning, and then I might read a few excerpts in the middle and then at the end of the story so you can get a little gist from it. This is from section 1, Malaria, its feverish demands unrelenting, its grip firm, took more people from Gowati, and this is a fictional place in Africa than starvation. The disease settled into the region like maggots gone into dirt and indiscriminately attacked toddlers, adults, newborns, and elderly with nausea, diarrhea, painful swelling in the joints, and inability to digest the scant food that remained on the windswept terrain. 3 months had passed since a significant rainfall watered sorghum, maize, and other major crops, and when rain did come, it seemed to only feed the malaria. The last of the healthy livestock, the noise of their pounding hooves going like log drums over the plain, the beat of their collective heart rushing toward escape, deserted the area weeks ago. Animals that hadn't moved were gaunt and fevered. Their bodies lay against the earth. Meat from the dehydrated limbs lingered as a gift to be consumed by the man, woman, and children after the meat was purged with fire. Flames from the fire jumped and swayed the way the women did during Mesco, Ethiopia's two-day festival that had been celebrated for more than 1,600 years. Mesco was a day that was filled with exploding colors, music, laughter, mouth-watering foods, and yellow daisies bunched together, then burned in commemoration of the discovery of the crucifix, the cross upon which Jesus was crucified, a discovery whose root remained inscribed in the book of Tefut. In the plain, spittle and polluted river water with feces and urine floating across its top frequently served as replacement for mother's milk. Too malnourished to produce food for a newborn, it was all many a mother had to offer her child. Mothers whose breasts produced milk were given alpha status. Babies took turns at their full, sagging breasts that were reminiscent of large coconut being passed around at a noonday meal. Alpha mothers were given first choice to sit beneath the drab shade of the acacia trees. And there are plenty of those in Africa, and that's from real life. They were first to walk, their feeble knees struggling to carry their scrawny frame into the muddy water. They were first to drink from and bathe their children in this same polluted water, its ebb flowing toward the Gihon in southern Nile. No one knew that mosquito larvae, which became the insect that injected them with malaria, with a single bite incubated in the river. Community members stooped in the cool water and hid their shoulders beneath the surface from the scorching sun, the fiery red star that stood amid more than 100 billion other stars as the largest object in the galaxy, a star that seemed to point its rays directly at Gowati, sending temperatures soaring beyond 120 degrees. Days later, malaria swept through the region, as if carried on the end of a broom. It took with it mothers, fathers, siblings, families, and ability to see a way out of the death hole that spanned 30 miles. And let me, I'm going to go here now to Mulliken. Farther away from the toddlers and seeking the lightness of laughter, older children joined hands and sang songs, and this is on page 9. Their voices rose with mirth high above the trees and extended far above, beyond the plain. You know how children play and they don't see the hurt. Thank God for that. Their energy can stay at a good place. Mulliken, a short, inquisitive girl with knots on her elbows and knees and a belly as swollen as her mother's had been when she was 9 months pregnant with her, sang the loudest. When plain songs are hunting into the dirt for bugs to eat like candy, Mulliken endured the scorch of the sun longer than any other child. She was one of the children whose parents and siblings, two sisters and three brothers, physical experience died to the bite of hungry male lions, heat, or the malaria. No one took her into their kin group. She simply mixed in with the other children the way paper blows into trees and grass on a windy day. When her mother's body went to the malaria, Mulliken started sleeping on the ground at the end of an older girl's feet. When no one kicked or shooed her away, she called that place at the end of the other girl's feet a kwaw, or home. Last night, several hours after Mulliken's mother died, pygmy kingfishers, these are the most gorgeous birds off the shelf, listeners. You should look them up on the internet. They're gorgeous. And they sing. They have beautiful, beautiful sound. Back to the excerpt. Look up kingfishers, pygmy kingfishers, P-I-G-M-Y, kingfishers, spelled the way it sounds. And look at those beautiful birds and read about them. Anyway, I'm going back to the excerpt here, off the shelf, listeners, here from Long Walk Up. Last night, several hours after Mulliken's mother died, pygmy kingfishers, small, brightly colored birds Mulliken's mother used to leave insects and crumbs of food for, sang from the top of an acacia tree. Her mother loved these birds. Before daybreak threatened to lighten the sky, the pygmy kingfishers flew out of the tree. With each flap of their wings, the birds took higher elevation until soon they were gone from the plain. The weather was balmy, the moon white. It was as if the heavens were thanking the community for letting them take Mulliken's mother back. Back into the sky, far above the trees, the moon, the stars, everything the community could see. Yards away from the trees the pygmy kingfishers once perched in, mosquitoes circled the mound of dirt where Mulliken's mother's body lay. A sizable distance away from the dirt mound, Mulliken, her eyes heavy with sleep, her mind burned with loss, saw an apparition. The vision was so clear and potent, it was as if Mulliken's spirit draped her petite body with fatigue, the way a surgeon stilled a patient's body with anesthesia, just so it could operate. Dark went across the sky. Mulliken's limbs were heavier than they had been hours ago. Her chest rose and fell in a slow, methodic rhythm. It was then her spirit showed her what she would never see, with the eyes filling her head. The eyes her mother told her were sweet brown. The head her siblings laughed about, pointed at and pronounced, Santa Kufa! Her mother stood at her side. Not a hint of malaria shadowed her. She was strong. She whispered, Mulliken, you are a triumphant teacher. You will lead a nation. Then, like death itself, the bitter fixation that took her mother away from her, the vision was gone. During the burial early in the day, the men in the plain, their painted bodies long and thin like the sticks they carried, moved the dirt over Mulliken's mother's body, filling the hole they dug hours before. The whole Mullican's mother's body now lay at the bottom of, as the fire heart rays drenched Mullican's skin from the sun, which seemed to be pointed right at her. The dance, sway, and singing of the woman, who stood so close to her, she felt her skin pushing into hers while her mother's body was being buried. It all drained Mullican. She drifted into deeper sleep with ease. The further fatigue carried her into sleep's portal, the tighter disbelief grabbed at the vision. A dream, a dream, Mullican told herself while she moved away from spirit talk, the flutter of her eyelids slowing. When the sun shone in the sky and the vision seemed make-believe, Mullican shook off sleep and called out, "Mother!" Sadness covered her like a heavy blanket. "Mother!" she called. All that came back to her was the sound of dirt blowing across the earth. She lay in the fetal position. She was 6 years old. Her life filled with so much pain, she forgot how to cry. But that's what she felt like doing. And then I'm going to go, let's see. I want to go to when she leaves the plane. Okay, I'm going to start here. "What are you doing over here by yourself?" This is Mullican went to turn. Bilkla, he was the leader. He was the leader of the community, what some people call tribes, the community that Mullican's family was from. So he says, what are you doing over here by yourself? And just as Mullican went to turn, Bilkla was upon her. She felt the heat from his body hovering against her back. "What are you doing over here?" Mullican knew she could be punished. Sharp blows coming down upon her shoulders like heavy logs if she didn't turn and face him. Yet she kept her back to him, watching the hill. He followed her pointing finger, then he laughed. "Silly girl," he said. Then he turned and walked away from her. She didn't move except to lower her arm. "Come on," he demanded. She stood with her back to him. He responded by rushing to her side and grabbing her arm. She grimaced while his long, dirty fingernails dug like thick, sharp pins into her skin. She didn't move. With a hard shove, he freed himself from her and stormed across the plain. He neared a group of women and lashed out at them for not watching after Mullican, for not training her to be a good woman. Feeling the sting of embarrassment, his harsh words brought them, residue of spit that had flown out of his mouth while he shouted at them yet on their faces. Two of the women stood and neared Mullican. Once at her side, they slapped her face several times, hard, then grabbing her arms and squeezing them so she could not gain freedom, they dragged her back to the tree where they had previously rested. The following morning, 2 days after her mother's burial, a strong wind that blew against and tumbled tree leaves brought Mullican courage. It woke her with its shrill whistling. No one else stirred. Mullican was light on her feet while she hurried across the plain, her gaze fixed on the hill. She knew the community would awaken soon, morning wrestling them away from the serenity of sleep. Cooler temperatures and the hint of rain would decorate their faces with smiles. They might not look for her straight away. She almost sang while she ran down the hill. And that is Mullican moving forward. But the struggle that she goes through makes her doubt the choice she has made. As with any of us, when we start to move forward, she starts to wonder, should I have stayed where I was? I'm living in a place of, I don't know what's coming next, but what I see now does not look good. Should I have stayed? Should I go back? It kind of reminds me even of crossing the Red Sea. Any experience that we have where there's a major life change, you can't see yet what's next, and what's right in front of you is not looking so good. Should I go back? If you go back, you're only going to get more of the same. This is how we get stuck. Or should I trust? The quote, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Should I trust and keep moving forward? And that is what Mullican, a six-year-old, does. And there are real-life children in Africa who are doing just that. And around the world, and they call them street children, they're doing just that. I know as adults we can do that as well in our own lives. Further into the story, I just wanted to read this part of where her mother is serving like as a guide for her. It's almost like, and I didn't think about this so much when I wrote the book, but did her mother cross over so she could help guide her her daughter in a more spiritual way into her own great destiny. Here, now I'm on page 17, Molokin's eyelids quivered while she lay on her side with her eyes closed and her conscious mind tucked deep inside a dream, you know, with the messages that come in dreams. My friend, recall your dreams and maybe even write them down. I write mine down. I encourage you to do the same. Anyway, while she lay on her side with her eyes closed and her conscious mind tucked deep inside a dream, a woman, her body decorated in a long, flowing black and red dress, stood next to her. In her hand was a spear. Its top end was sharp. It glistened as if hungry for prey. "Amazon warrior," Molokin whispered. Her breath went out like a flutter. She'd heard the stories. Her mother told them stories about African women who could not be defeated. Her dreaming mind scanned the woman's countenance, and the stories her mother told her stretched out like the empty earth. Molokin leaped off the ground in her dream, and at first she moved back, away from the woman. Then she moved toward the woman, as if to embrace her. The woman pushed Molokin's hands away and stepped back. Her heels dug into the earth with her biting refusal to be touched. "You are a mighty warrior." Struck hard by the woman's refusal to embrace her, Molokin stirred in her sleep. In her dream, she lowered her head and stared at the ground. When she looked up, the woman was gone. Half an hour passed before Molokin awoke. When she did, she squatted and urinated the way she always did when she woke, her bladder empty in the memory of the woman and the memory of the sleep-induced vision of the woman gone into the wind. Molokin started walking. And then she is fortunate. Only have 4 more minutes left in the show. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. Then she's fortunate. She keeps moving forward. My friend, I encourage you to keep moving forward. This little girl's story, as you keep moving forward, you will come into new experiences. Oh, it starts out so hard for Molokin. Her mother is encouraging her. As if God himself has, her mother has crossed over to serve as one of her guides. And she's helping her daughter to go into this marvelous, her destiny. She makes history. This little orphan girl makes history. And her mother is like a guide serving her, the way a mother guides you on this side. Her mother has gone now due to malaria, but she has not left her daughter. She's on the other side guiding her, and she's guiding her through her dreams. And so, and of course, Molokin has other guides and other help. As she keeps moving forward, she runs into a man at a market. And what a big help he becomes to her. And I just read you a little bit about when she first comes to the market. Moments later, she rolls down his hill. She's upset. She rolls down his hill. And then she hears these voices. She can't believe it. "Come along, Abiyama, come along. But father, come along. How much for these shoes?" Voices. Molokin listened from where she lay behind a tall wood produce stand, the place where she landed after she rolled to the bottom of the hill. From where she lay behind the stand, she watched feet, some belonging to children, others belonging to adults, move back and forth in front of the small open space at the bottom of the stand. Behind her was only dirt and open sky. She appeared alone except for the hurrying feet and the rainbow voices. So many voices. "How far along in school is the youngest one? She is growing so fast. I know, like a vine. She just keeps going up, up, up. Special, special, special. Come and take advantage of these many specials we have on all kinds of fruit and vegetables. You'll be glad you did. Don't go home without some of these delicious foods." Molokin peered up. Her thoughts were on the energy and the rainbow voices. Her eyes widened. It was so close. A market. It brimmed with people. Some fat, some thin, none starving. And her miraculous end, I won't tell you what it is. I want you to read Long Walk Up. I want you to connect with this little girl, Molokin, this little six-year-old girl, and go through what she goes through. And see if you don't think even about your own life. And she could have stayed with the familiar. Something called to her. And sometimes even when we think about those that have transitioned and crossed over, how do we not know that they might not even still be helping us from the other side? So she is she goes, she just keeps going, and it's not all easy for her. You know, she has those good rainbow experiences, and then she has times when she starts to doubt again. But Morgan, 6-year-old, she's tough cookie. She keeps going, and I encourage you to do the same. Again, to writers, to subscribe to the Book Lovers Haven newsletter. Sign up and join the Book Lovers Haven Network at Ning. Both are at chistel.com, www.chistel.com. Again, that's chistel.com. And I thank you so much for joining us here today. And I hope you enjoyed the excerpts that I didn't plan to do any of this. And it's just the way the show went. So we will reschedule the author. Thank you for being here. Please go over and visit chistel.com. Please, please, please pick up a copy of Long Walk Up. It doesn't even cost $10, and you could finish the book in a day, and I think it might even change your life, and I say that sincerely. Remember, you're always blessed, so valued, and so truly loved. I cannot say that enough. Thank you to everyone who has supported and who supports Off the Shelf Radio, Chistel Publishing, myself, Denise Turney, and my books. I so appreciate you. And the books are available also at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Kush City, and other places. Go get a copy of Long Walk Up. Go get a copy of Long Walk Up today. All right? You won't have to pay any shipping and handling or no taxes. I get a copy today. And if you go through the website, just click Add to Cart, and you'll be switched over to PayPal. No extra charges. Sign out of PayPal. Poof, you're done. Or you can go to Amazon.com or bookstore and get a copy. I do appreciate and I seek your support. Thank you so much. Be blessed. Be blessed. Go out and create a wonderful day for yourself. Bye for now.